something on my mind listening to everybody testify. I thank God. I really thank God for the testimonies. I don't think church should be quiet. It should be a place of prayer. It should be a place of song. And it should be a place of praise. And it should be a place of preaching and teaching God's word. Amen. And but I was thinking particularly about testimonies of my children. One thing that we've done in our home is when it comes to the things of God, especially the house of God, there's never been a debate at our house. Are we going this morning? Or Sunday night? Are we going to go tonight? Or Wednesday? Reckon we should go tonight? You say, well, you're the pastor. You have to, even when I wasn't pastor. That's something that's not debatable to the Christian. Shouldn't be. There are going to be times we could be hindered. I mean, really hindered. If you've got one of them ox that gets out all the time, I'd shoot that thing. Amen. I would. And eat it. I'd shoot it and then I'd eat it. And get one that'll stay in the pen. But listen, you in more ways than I could tell you tonight, your life will be blessed of God if you learn just to be faithful and dedicated to Him. And it starts by being dedicated to His house. Amen. Exodus 2, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what God, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And I guess this evening, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at the faith of Moses' mother. And you could write down, guys, back here in the back, the faith of Jochebed. That was her name. Her name was Jochebed. Moses' father's name was Amram. And he was a son of Kohath, which was a son of Levi. And so he was of the priestly line as far as the Israelites. And he took to wife a daughter of Levi. Jochebed was the daughter of Levi. And they were a long way apart, no doubt, between all the sons and daughters that Levi had, and then those families had for Amram to find his wife among the daughters of Levi was a good thing for them. And the Bible says that the woman conceived and bare a son. Now, this is a dangerous thing in her day and her time. You know the story of what happens in chapter 1, how that the end of Joseph's life and that generation had come to an end. There arose another king, another Pharaoh, that knew not Joseph. And the Egyptian people that did not know about them. And so he felt threatened by the large number of Hebrews. So he commanded, this Pharaoh commanded, and said, have all the male Hebrew boys killed. The women that give birth, if it's a female, she shall live. But if it's a male, he shall die. And what did she have? She had a male. A woman conceived and bare a son. So now think about how fearful that this is already in the beginning of her son's life. What am I to do for my son, whose life from the very beginning is at stake? And don't ever doubt that, parents, that the devil is after your children. And in our case, male or female, he wants them dead. He does not want them to have life, but he wants them dead. Now, when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. I mean, when she looked upon him, she saw the most beautiful Hebrew boy. I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with him. Among the Egyptians, they had a lot of problems because they didn't follow the command that the Hebrews did as far as, you know, how distant to keep their marital relationships, them as a young family, a young nation. And so they knew to keep children from having toes missing and eyes crossed and ears gone and, you know, all kinds of deformities. And there was a lot of that that happened in Egypt. And you can even read today about some of the things they've dug up over there that they've had, you know, children that had deformities, a king or a queen whose leg was turned in, or, you know, something deformed. And that was what? Because of the very close marriage. A lot of times, very brothers and sisters. And there was that problem. But when she saw Moses, she saw a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. She hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him. Now I want to tell you something. Here's the first thing I want to tell you about the faith of Jochebed. She got to the place where she realized she was limited in what she could do for him. She was limited in what she could do for him. Now, I want to tell you, we should do everything that we can to keep our children hid from the world, from the enemy, amen, from the devil. We should do our part, but there's a limit to what we can do. And she came to that limit. She could not longer hide him. And so she's realizing that it's going to be something more than what she can give him is what he needs. She's going to lean on providence. The hand of God. Are you listening to me? Now I want you to think how tough this must have been. For her to have this son in this day and this time, to build an ark the way that she did out of bulrushes, and to put him, to position him in the flags in the Nile. Now, I want to tell you something. This woman, I believe, I'm going to tell you something about her belief in what she did. Her supreme trust in God caused her to walk back home. The Bible said, listen, Moses' sister, and she had to have been young, maybe a teenager. Sister was watching. The mother was back at the house. Well, you can't convince me it wasn't because she didn't love him. Oh, no, she loved him. I mean, she'd hit him as long as she could. And when she couldn't hide him no longer, and she realized that with her limitations, he would be found. They would come and kick in the doors as they often did, and they would search the place looking for any Hebrew child that was a boy. They would find him. So she put Moses into the hand of God under his providence. When she had made that ark, she had built that ark. Amen. I mean, the Bible said in verse number 4, his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done. Now, his sister had faith. She's waiting to see what would be done. Do you know that's what faith is? Sometimes faith is just waiting to see what's going to be done. Knowing that something will be done. But I'm going to wait and see what will be done. There, his sister, amen, she had faith. I mean, this boy that should have been killed. The Bible said that the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Now, what do you think she was thinking? I'll tell you exactly what I believe she was thinking. This is a Hebrew boy. one that should die. One that the Pharaoh has said should die. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children. This is one of the Hebrews' children. This is one of the boys that should have been killed." Now, look what Pharaoh's daughter said in verse 9. "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away. Take the child away." She knew she could not bring him back to the palace at that time. She knew she couldn't. So now it's as if God tendered her heart. When the babe wept, she had compassion on that child. She said, "Take this child away. I can't bring him to the house. I'll give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now that was Jochebed. The sister of Moses asked Pharaoh's daughter, said, "Do you want me to get one of the ladies that can nurse it and have her to nurse it for you?" And she brought Jochebed, the baby's mother. Isn't that amazing how that God, listen, let that mom come back and nurse her own child and get paid for it. Amen? She was going to always be in that child's life. Amen? I mean, her supreme trust in God. I mean, she stepped clean off the scene and let what was going to happen was in the hand of God. She wasn't going to try to, if something got near, push him a little further down. She wasn't going to watch for Christ. Listen, you'll worry yourself to death trying to keep that safe that you cannot keep safe. You can only go so far. That child needs the providential hand of God in its life. The best thing you and I can do for our children is get them to where God is. Get them to where the Lord is. And let God do something for their life. Amen. God had this woman to have compassion on him. I mean, listen, look at her joy in the work of her daughter. In verse number 7, "Then said his sister," that was Moses' sister, "to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother." Can you imagine the joy in the work of her daughter? She had raised that daughter in the fear of the Lord. And that daughter stood by faith, watching what would happen. Jochebed didn't tell her to do that. Amen? But she had, no doubt, she had joy in the work of her daughter. The work of her daughter watched over him, came up with this, that she would go and get a woman to nurse, which happened to be the very mother of the child, to come back in and say, "Mama, come quick. You've got to nurse Moses. You're going to nurse him for Pharaoh's daughter, and you're going to get paid for it." What joy she had in the work of her daughter when she brought word. Amen? When she brought word to her mother, the woman took the child and nursed it. Verse number 8, And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Not another, but the child's mother. Do you see how when she had put her child into the providential hand of God and stepped out of the way, how that God still allowed her to be a part of the life of that child? A huge part. It's just now he's not getting all his direction from her. He's getting it from the providential hand of God. He could have been raised like many of the other Hebrews. He could have been instructed in the ways of the Hebrews, and he was. He knew about the, he learned about them, but he was instructed in, at that time, the greatest educational city in the world. He got an education in the house of Pharaoh. Now Moses, when he grew up and he went to leave because of what had happened in his older, in his, I'd say younger days, when he was about 39 or 40, he killed an Egyptian that was beating on a Hebrew. And then realized word must have got out. And Pharaoh had heard about it and would have killed him. And what did Moses do? He fled. He left. Right then, I believe, the scripture should come in. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He left Pharaoh's house. For good. He would never be a part of Pharaoh's house again. Jochebed when she realized that she was limited, she didn't just lay down. She did what she could do. She took for him, verse 3, an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. See, she did what she could. She prepared an ark for him. That's all she could do. There are some times we forget to do the things that we can do. There's some things we can do. Without getting in God's way. Now, I like the sister too, and his sister in verse 4 stood afar off to what would be done to him. And I was looking at that the other day. She stood afar off, and his sister stood afar off. It means she stationed herself. She positioned herself. She stationed herself in a place where she would be out of the way, but that she could also pray. She could watch and pray. When she stood afar off, to wit, again, waiting to see what would happen? What would be done to him. What could have been done? There was a lot that could have happened. That took great faith. Listen, it takes more faith than you and I realize to give our kids to the Lord. What if it had been God's will to just took him on home? Took him on to paradise. He was there among the alligators. Brother Hanley Milby used to preach a message called Alligator Alley. He was right there among them. Right there in the Nile River. And that's right where she put him. And walked away. We are in the world, and there's a lot of evil around us. But we have to, listen, we can build something to keep our children in, to keep the world out. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, they're in this world, they're gonna see, and they're going to be a part, and they're going to do, and they're going to find out. Not if you put them in an ark that you've built to keep them safe. If at all possible, the providential hand of God would keep them above water. Amen? Oh, yes. You need to build something that will. It's just like a picture of Noah's ark. But it was a little ark. To keep it from leaking, amen? To keep him dry. To keep him camouflaged, no doubt. Maybe it just looked like a big bunch of weeds coming down through there. But it was an ark. Didn't have to be the prettiest thing, but it did need to stay afloat. Her faith in what she did as much as what she was trusting God to do. If you take your hands off after you've done all you can do, you take your hands off, you need to have faith in doing that. All of us, the very first thing we want to do is, I don't know if I've done right or not. Know what you've done was the will of God. Listen, she had hit him through and she'd kept him as long as she could. And she knew that. I can't keep him any longer. Not like this. I'd just soon put him in the hand of God. And see what God will do. I don't know this, but maybe she knew the daughters of the Egyptians washed down in that river. No doubt they did. But on this particular day, it was the daughter of Pharaoh that came washing. You can't get more providential than that. Did they know he was going to be the salvation of the whole company? No. No, they didn't. But God did. God did. God knows what can happen in their life. What could happen? What will be done? God had a plan for Moses. And the plan that God had for Moses was going to affect the lives of everybody else. don't realize what an impact one life can make. One life given to the hand of God, what it can do. And it starts by one act of faith that a mother, amen? One act of faith that a mother could give their child over to the Lord. Amen. It would mean all of them's salvation. It would mean them going back to Canaan's land, pulling up out of Egypt. It all started with her move of faith. That's where it started. Her move of faith. She had a boy that was supposed to die, and instead of letting him die, she hid him 3 months. She could not hide him no longer. She made an ark of bulrushes. She daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. There's something else right here that I don't have the words for just yet. I'm going to keep studying on this. See, when she laid that ark, she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. She laid it, the Bible said. See, he was in it. She was laying it, the work of her hand, that which she believed. See, that ark is as much a picture of her work and faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. And she put all of that into the Nile, and he was in it. Think it's just your child going out there. But no, it's everything you've prepared for the child. Whatever it is that you've made for them, that's what will go in the water with them. Is that making any sense? Whatever you made for them, that's what's going to go in the water with them. Made of hope, of trust. You have to know that it's solid. Listen, your beliefs, how you raise them, it's got to be solid. You give them sinking sand, how are they going to stand in the last days? You can't give your children sinking sand. You can't give them a leaky ark. She gave him something that would hold him up. I said she gave him something that would hold him up. Well, that right there was worth the evening. You got to give your children that which will hold them up. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.